Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you pay attention to the news, you've seen, unfortunately, all too frequently, recently, some of the tragic consequences that estrangement in relationships can have if they lead to sometimes their ultimate worst ends. What is estrangement? What on earth has the power to so devastate the quality of human life as we have seen repeatedly again and again in tragic circumstances that have played out before us in the headlines of the news? Well, the definition from the dictionary of that word estrangement can give us some help. Causing someone who was previously friendly and affectionate to become alienated and hostile. Sometimes the images that we see on the news of the tragic consequences of some estrangement situations portray a much more vivid and excruciating picture. And they may send chills and twinges of fear down our spines as we see the images of police officers and EMTs responding to scenes where great violence has been perpetrated. Estrangement leaves scars. The source of estrangement, God tells us in his word, is sin. Genesis makes it very clear that the very moment that Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked because they had sinned. Intuitively, they sensed estrangement. What had begun as a relationship of love and trust and intimate friendship with God now was characterized by alienation, separation, and hostility. For the first time in the world's history, invisible wedges of sin-induced estrangement fractured vital relationships. The narrative begins to sound more and more like the daily news. Then the man and his wife hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And when God called out to Adam, Adam tried to explain himself, saying, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." You can almost feel the estrangement in the relationship in those words. Trusted friends had become hostile intruders, and with the invasion of estrangement, bloodshed was not far behind. Estrangement poisons our relationship with God. The words of the ancient writer describe the result in Genesis. "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden. He placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth so that they could no longer eat from the tree of life and live forever in their fallen, sinful condition." And today we see the tragic aftermath of that first sin and the sinful nature that has been passed down from one generation to another, as the world is teeming with people who are alienated and estranged from God because of their sin. The savage jaws of sin leave bloody marks on human lives and relationships. And when people become aware of their sins, they try to run and hide from God just as Adam and Eve did. How sad and tragic that is. Scripture tells us, though, that despite our sins, God is still on our side. The Apostle Paul testifies in Romans chapter 8, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." But unfortunately, we are the ones who generate estrangement from God. God has already reconciled humankind to himself, yet the haunting guilt of our sins causes us to flee away from him and to run away from what we imagine his punishment still must be for our sins. And estrangement also poisons our relationships with other people as well. For example, God warned Cain the firstborn son of Adam and Eve, that sin was crouching at his door and it wanted to devour him. Cain knew that God was not pleased with his offering because of his lack of faith, but that God was pleased with the offering of his brother Abel. And soon Cain's heart was poisoned with estrangement. His prior relationship to his younger brother was one of love, trust, and mutual respect. But now estrangement signaled that bloodshed could not be far behind. And so we read not too long after, while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Still today, estrangement is poisoning human relationships, alienating family members. Business competitors use cutthroat tactics to get ahead. Nations are on the brink of war. Will there ever be an end to the estrangement caused by sin? Our sermon text this evening from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6 reminds us that estrangement is not God's will for our lives. In the harmonious tranquility of the Garden of Eden, the first human beings, Adam and Eve, related to God and to each other and to themselves without any estrangement at all. As long as sin had not yet entered the world, everything was totally harmonious and peaceful. Trust, caring, intimacy, and perfect faithfulness characterized all of the relationships that existed. That was truly paradise. Life was secure and richly satisfying as long as the image of God was still intact. And that is the will of God for you and for me, an existence completely free from crippling estrangement. And even after Adam and Eve plunged the human race into sin and estrangement from God, God still stood his ground and declared his will for an estrangement-free existence. God declared that he would raise up a deliverer who would crush the head of the devil, who would neutralize the devil's power to diminish and destroy the quality of human life and relationship with God. That plan would require a fatal strike to be inflicted on the deliverer himself. But yet victory would come when that deliverer rose back to life from the grave. God, already right after that first sin, set the plan in motion that would eliminate estrangement forever. And so the Apostle Paul addresses the Christians in the Greek city of Corinth with an impassioned plea in chapter 5, verse 20 of our reading. He says, "We urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Reconciliation is the opposite of estrangement. Whereas estrangement means causing a loved one to become alienated and hostile, reconciliation means bringing a person back to a full relationship after estrangement. Paul's words echo the primary will of God that he already expressed way back in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve's first sin. Be reconciled. God says to us, be my friend again. Live your life free from estrangement from me. Be all that you were meant to be when I first created you. Give yourself to me. Broken, unworthy, guilty, and fallen as you are, and I will give you back to yourself as a whole new creation. Don't overlook the fact that God wants reconciliation to take place right now, not tomorrow, not just before retirement, but now. Paul tells us in chapter 6, verse 2 of our reading, I tell you, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. In a masterful way, the Apostle Paul draws the reader back to the Old Testament, to the words of the prophet Isaiah, announcing God's readiness to deliver his people and to restore their relationship with himself. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed to God's people on behalf of God, "At a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." Can you hear it? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the favorable time for deliverance from bondage. God has already made up his mind to free us from the prison of sin's estrangement. God is already reconciled toward us. He declared that all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And so all that remains in this restoration of friendship is that it be received through the proclamation of the good news of Jesus and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. By the grace of God, through faith in Jesus as our Savior, which the Holy Spirit has created in our hearts as we hear the good news of forgiveness through Jesus, we are reconciled to God. As we enter this season of Lent today on Ash Wednesday, we are privileged to witness how this reconciliation between God and man took place. The Apostle Paul explains it in chapter 5, verse 21 of our reading. God made him who did not know sin, Jesus, to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the message of the cross of Christ. And for the next 6 weeks of Lent, we will dress ourselves spiritually, at least in sackcloth and ashes, an ancient symbol of repentance. We will walk with our Savior through his passion, his suffering and death, standing aghast as he is betrayed, falsely accused, scourged, tortured, and eventually crucified. And yet our pilgrimage through Lent must be more than just a simple historical recitation of a tragic tale. Lent is our opportunity to behold the miraculous way in which God brought an end to our estrangement from him, in which God reconciled the world to himself. Our reconciliation was brought about by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and nothing else. Scripture clearly teaches that Jesus Christ was born without sin and that he lived a perfect life of absolute sinlessness, perfectly obeying all of God's commandments, not only outwardly in action and not only in word, but also in thought and desire as well. And yet while he was on the cross, a great transfer took place. God actually made his sinless son to become sin for us, to absorb the full force of God's wrath on sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in him and stand in a right relationship with him. The prophet Isaiah predicted this transfer of sin and this imputation of the righteousness of Christ to us hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. In Isaiah chapter 53, he writes about the Messiah, the promised Savior. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. It's important for us to note the verb that the Apostle Paul uses in his urgent plea to us when he says, be reconciled. That is an imperative. It's a command. Under normal circumstances, an imperative verb is a simple command that requires the hearer to take some kind of action in order to carry out the command. But in the Bible, we see that God's imperatives are always gospel imperatives. That is, as God issues a command, be reconciled, he also provides us who hear that command with all the means that we need to keep and carry out that command. And so in this case, when God calls on us to have faith in Jesus as the Savior, as the means of being reconciled to God, God simultaneously provides us with the means that we need through which the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts to produce that result in us. This is a gospel imperative. It's not a legalistic demand which requires us to do something in order to earn our salvation. No, this is something that God invites us to receive as a gift of his free grace. And so when God directs us through the gospel imperative, be reconciled, he also provides us the means for that reconciliation to become a reality. And that means the word of God, the good news of forgiveness through Jesus, that is the focal point of our Lenten experience, the death. Spirit of God points our eyes to the cross of Christ on this Ash Wednesday. He reminds us through his word that this is the way we are newly created by God. It wasn't too long ago, just a couple of months or less, when we sang the Christmas carol, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." The thrill of Christmas is not diminished by the somber mood of Ash Wednesday. True, the cross is stained with the innocent blood of Jesus during Lent. But in that precious blood of Jesus, our Savior, lies the key to our reconciliation with God, with each other, and even with ourselves. It provides the end of estrangement. The consequences of sin truly are far-reaching. The knowledge that I have offended God could drive me to the brink of despair, shatter my self-confidence, and thrust me into a mood of hopelessness. And in that condition, I long for a spiritual healing, but I realize that I am powerless to change the condition of my estrangement from God by myself. But the wonderful good news of God's love for us is that he has done the work of salvation for us. He has reconciled us to himself through Jesus our Savior. That is the message we celebrate even in the midst of our repentance and our contrition and our sorrow over sin on this Ash Wednesday and the coming weeks of Lent. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus our Savior. Amen.